Mart, Walgreens, CVS, and other fine retailers.
Officers from around the nation heading to New York for the funeral today of an officer assassinated while on duty.
Chief of Patrol Terry Monahan says officers from across America will join the NYPD in mourning the loss of one of their own.
This is something that resonates with officers not just here in this city, but around the country. It's similar to Dallas, it's similar to everything. A pure assassination.
Officer Miyasoto's familia gunned down in cold blood last week. Officers will stand shoulder to shoulder for blocks here outside World Changers Church. Familia's 20-year-old daughter, 12-year-old twins, and co-workers at the 46th Precinct will be among those inside the church. In the Fordham section of the Bronx, Scott Pringle, New York.
A London-based monitoring group has confirmed the death of ISIS leader Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. The Syrian Observatory for Human Rights made the claim to several news outlets. Russian officials first reported al-Baghdadi's likely death in June, saying he's hit by a Russian airstrike in Syria. The U.S. officials say they're doubtful about the claim. USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn for VRA. In 2003, Kip Herridge founded VRA, his global investment newsletter. His VRA is unlike anything you've ever seen. He's outperformed Wall Street every year since 2003. Today, in honor of the national rollout of my radio show, Kip wants to give every listener his new book for free. It's called Crash Proof Prosperity, Becoming Wealthy in the Age of Trump. To beat the markets and become wealthy in the age of Trump, get your free copy at VRAinsider.com. It's 100% free at VRAinsider.com. That's VRAinsider.com.
More details are now coming out about the soldier who killed his wife and then gunned down a police officer who responded to the domestic dispute call.
32-year-old Justin Walters is being held without bail. One man who knew him while growing up in Michigan said he was a troubled teen.
He was basically a Marilyn Manson type, trench coat. He idolized the Columbine shooters.
In fact, he says the younger Walters was expelled from middle school for making a bomb threat.
They searched his locker and they found a hit list with a list of people to kill.
Walters is a highly decorated soldier stationed at Fort Drum. He served two tours in Afghanistan. Now he stands accused of killing his 27-year-old wife, Nicole Walters, on Sunday, and then killing 36-year-old trooper Joel Davis. James Flippin, New York.
Microsoft is promoting and pushing a plan that could bring high-speed internet to 80% of rural areas that don't have high speed now.
The technology uses the unused channels called white spaces to reach 80% of people in rural America who can't access broadband because of the cost of infrastructure. Still, the project set to be unveiled on Tuesday might have its own cost issues. The technology customers need to take advantage of the tech costs as much as $1,000 in some cases. Microsoft predicts the price will drop precipitously as the technology advances. Right now, the company is seeking approval from federal regulators for the plan.
ESPN announces that the ESPYs this year, they'll be honoring Special Olympics. A special award will be given in the memory of Eunice Shriver, who founded Special Olympics in 1968. Today, 5 million athletes participate. USA Radio News.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Huntington Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Wow, are you going to learn something about aircraft carriers today? I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thank you for joining us. Frontlines of Freedom is a proud partner with AmVets. We both promote our nation and our veterans. I hope you had a wonderful time celebrating our nation's birthday. I sure did. Joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is co-host Air Force vet Josh Lang. What's up, Josh?
Well, Colonel, it is summer, and that means drill season for many of our guardsmen and reservists. So on behalf of the entire Frontlines of Freedom team, we wish each and every one of you patriots a safe and productive time playing soldier, or sailor, airman, or marine, while away from your friends and family. Get her done.
Thanks, Josh. Hoo-ah. Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby looks very satisfied with himself. We'll hear from him as he shares some warrant wisdom. And Marine Vet Skip Coriel is here looking strong and vibrant. What's up, Skip?
Well, I bought a new holster this week, and that always does that to me.
For concealed carry or open carry?
For concealed carry, I'm carrying appendix carry. You know, that's just to the right of your belly button there. Uh-huh. It's more accessible, but it's an inside-the-waistband holster. I'd never done that before. I told myself, as soon as I lose some weight, I'm going to do that. I lost 7 pounds, and I'm carrying appendix carry, and I just feel like a better person.
You know, I bought one of those, and I've never used it, and I've lost some weight. So maybe it's time. Maybe it's time. You're such a motivator. Troops, we're proud to have the Eisenhower Center and After the Impact as studio sponsors. They do wonderful things for people with traumatic brain injury, mostly football players and combat veterans, but other people too. Here's what we have for you today. On News and Comment by the Colonel, I'm going to discuss how our tax dollars are funding terrorists in Israel and how some Israelis support this. Military historian Barrett Tillman will discuss his book On Wave and Wind, The 100-Year Quest to Perfect the Aircraft Carrier. You're going to love this. Then Ambassador John Bolton will join us to give us some insights into what our nation's goals should be in Syria. The Eisenhower Center does a great job of helping people with traumatic brain injury, as you know. Well, one of the groups they really focus on is female veterans, and they just had an LPGA event to honor those lady vets. We're going to hear about that. And then Paul Ryan and Tim Earnessy will join us to discuss LZ Michigan. It's a huge event to honor veterans of all eras and one that can be duplicated in your community.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then also go out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. Now it's time for News and Comment by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. First, the news. What's first, Josh?
President Trump and South Korean President Moon Jae-in met for the first time late last month on the way forward against the growing North Korea threat that a top White House official said demands action. A senior White House official, speaking on background, said Trump was focused on ramping up diplomatic and economic pressure, but Army General H.R. McMaster, the White House National Security Advisor, said later that force is a possible option. Speaking at the Center for a New American Security, McMaster said, quote, "What we have to do is prepare all options, because the president has made clear to us that he will not accept a nuclear power in North Korea, and a threat that can target the U.S. and target the American population. The threat is much more immediate now, and so it's clear that we can't repeat the same approach, failed approach of the past," end quote. McMaster's comment, an apparent reference to the Obama administration's policy of strategic patience.
It's totally appropriate that the president is doing everything he can to deal with North Korea. I'm glad he's not afraid to openly deal with this major challenge to our security.
President Trump says he has nominated Kay Bailey Hutchison, a former Republican senator from Texas, to be the U.S. ambassador to NATO. As a candidate, Trump called NATO obsolete and has had a rocky relationship with the 28-nation military alliance. The president has criticized several members of the post-World War II organization for not spending adequately on defense. At a May meeting in Brussels with NATO members, Trump complained that his allies had shortchanged the people and taxpayers of the United States, creating additional strains for the organization. Hutchison, who is 73, won a runoff special election to fill a vacant Senate seat in 1993 and served three full terms as a U.S. senator.
I assume that the president did delay his nomination of an ambassador to NATO until he felt that the organization was going to become functional again. NATO has been a paper tiger. Perhaps with real leadership, it will become a significant military force again. I sure hope so.
The Senate Armed Service Committee's markup of the defense budget left out proposals to have women register for the draft. The move essentially tables the controversial issue, following similar action in the House Armed Services Committee's markup of the National Defense Authorization Act for fiscal 2018. Proposals by Representative Jackie Speier, Democrat, California, and others to have women register for selective service were dropped from that bill. Speier unsuccessfully argued for an amendment to the National Defense Authorization Act that would have required women to register for the draft. She said, quote, "It's time to stop delaying the inevitable with parliamentary gymnastics. If it does come to a draft, men and women should be treated equally," end quote. Her amendment failed in the committee by a vote of 33-28. Committee Chairman Representative Mac Thornberry, Republican of Texas, opposed Speier's amendment, saying it was getting ahead of an ongoing review of the selective service system. Last year, committee members approved a similar measure requiring women to register for the draft, but Republican leaders stripped the language on the House floor. The Senate last year also backed the draft for women, but dropped the issue in budget negotiations with the House. Women have always been exempt from the law requiring all men ages 18-26 to register for possible military service with the selective service system. The main argument against women registering for the draft had been that they were excluded from serving in combat jobs. However, the Defense Department has since lifted combat restrictions. At a Brookings Institute forum on May 22nd, Thornberry was asked to state his position on women and the draft. He responded saying, quote, "We have appointed a commission to look at this. We'll see what they have to say," end quote. But he gave no timeline for the study to be completed and no indication whether Congress would be prepared to act when the commission files their report.
Regardless of what Congress does, the next time there's a draft, some man will sue the government saying that if men can be drafted and women can serve anywhere men can, then women should be drafted too. And the Supreme Court will agree because the logic is clear and simple. What needs to happen is that we must change the rules back to the common sense and combat-focused rules of a year ago when women were excluded from ground close combat units like infantry, armor, rangers, and SEALs. I sincerely hope this change comes soon.
Lawyers for alleged deserter Sergeant Bo Bergdahl are continuing to prepare for trial after the judge denied a motion to dismiss the charge of misbehavior before the enemy. Colonel Jeffrey Nance, the military judge overseeing the court-martial, denied a motion from defense lawyers to dismiss the charge. Defense lawyers claim the misbehavior before the enemy charge doesn't name a specific offense, and therefore should be void because it fails to give fair notice of what action is forbidden. In March 2015, Bergdahl was charged with desertion and misbehavior before the enemy by endangering the safety of a command, unit, or place. He walked off a remote post in Afghanistan in 2009 and was subsequently held by the Taliban for nearly 5 years. Bergdahl has said he left the base to catch the attention of military brass. He wanted to warn them about what he believed were serious problems with leadership in his unit. Bergdahl could face life imprisonment if convicted of misbehavior before the enemy. The court-martial is scheduled to begin October 23rd at Fort Bragg.
And that's the news. The AMVETS National Service Foundation provides direct support to veterans and their families through service programs as well as community and youth-oriented programs designed to promote unity and patriotism. It counsels and represents veterans and their dependents before the Veterans Administration without charge. They have been recently honored as one of the nation's greatest nonprofits. I'm proud of them. Check AMVETS.org. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel and we'll get some warrant wisdom. Then we'll talk aircraft carriers with military historian Barrett Tillman. Eddie's troops, take a break. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I want to share about an incredible program available for our veterans across America who are suffering from PTS and traumatic brain injury. It's called After the Impact, and it serves our veterans and NFL football players. You know, it all started at the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and is now expanded to a new facility in Jacksonville, Florida. After the Impact provides real treatment and healing in a transitional residential setting. See more about their facilities for veterans and players at EisenhowerCenter.com.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America, working with happiness expert Sean Acor. Leading into the busy summer travel season, Bank of America, in partnership with Condé Nast Traveler, created the Joy Index to explore the connection between happiness and travel. Happiness expert Sean Acor.
Science shows that traveling makes us happy. Different cultures, new adventures, and relaxation. I found that these things in my research drastically improve our happiness and energy. We explored the unique factors that make a trip memorable to create the Joy Index, a list of 10 most joyous destinations. And based on all this work, we curated specific must-dos for each destination that are all eligible purchases for redemption on the Bank AmeriCard Travel Rewards credit card points to offset their costs. With the Bank AmeriCard Travel Rewards credit card, you can earn 1.5 points per dollar spent anywhere, anytime, making your next memorable experience closer than you think.
For more information, visit cntraveler.com/joyindex.
If you're a veteran looking to file for your service-connected benefits through the Department of Veterans Affairs, AmVet's highly trained service officers stand ready to walk you through the process at VA regional offices around the country. AmVet's can offer you the advice you need to finally receive all your earned benefits. In 2009 alone, AmVets helped process more than 65,000 claims and appeals, securing more than $410 million in benefits. To find your nearest AmVets service officer or to learn more, visit AmVets.org.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heide & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms. When they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to the Frontlines of Freedom all across America. A Frontlines of Freedom salute to one of our show's sponsors, Honor and Remember. Our nation must never forget those who paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms. This is the mission of Honor and Remember, a nonprofit based in Virginia with support from their national sponsor, Spartan Nash, the leading distributor to U.S. commissaries and fifth largest food distributor. Learn more about how you continue the mission at honorandremember.org. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. Do you think the U.S. should be paying Palestinian terrorists? I'll bet you didn't know that we are. This was made clear last month when President Trump's senior envoys, Jared Kushner and Jason Greenblatt, met with Palestinian Authority Chairman and PLO Chief Mahmoud Abbas and repeated Trump's demand that the Palestinian Authority cut off payments to terrorists. Not only did Abbas reject the demand, he reportedly accused the presidential envoys of working as Israeli agents. Abbas's treatment of Kushner and Greenblatt was consistent with his refusal to even meet with the U.S. ambassador, David Friedman, reportedly because he doesn't like Friedman's views. The most amazing aspect of Abbas's attitude is that he abuses Trump's senior advisors while demanding that Trump continue funding him in excess of $500 million a year and to do so in contravention with the wills of Congress. Abbas's meeting took place as the Taylor Force Act makes its way through Congress. Named for Taylor Force, the West Point grad and Army vet who was murdered in March 2016 in Tel Aviv by a Palestinian terrorist, the Taylor Force Act will end U.S. funding of the Palestinian Authority until it ends its payments to terrorists and their families, including the family of Force's murderer, Bashar Masala. The Taylor Force Act enjoys bipartisan majority support in both the House and the Senate. It's also supported by the Israeli government. Given the stakes, what could possibly have possessed Abbas to believe he could get away with mistreating our president's envoys? Who does he think will save him from Congress and the White House? Well, the answer is a bunch of Israeli brass called the Commanders for Israel Security, CIS. CIS is a consortium of about 250 left-wing retired security brass. CIS refuses to reveal its funding sources, but several of its most visible members worked with the Obama administration through the George Soros-funded Center for New American Security. Since its inception, CIS has effectively served as a PLO lobby. It supports Israeli land giveaways and insists that Israel can do without a defensible eastern border. Last month, CIS released a common-sense-defying statement opposing the Taylor Force Act. Listen to this. The generals insist the U.S. must continue paying the terrorism-financing Palestinian Authority because Israel needs the help of the terrorism-incentivizing PA to help fight the terrorists the PA incentivizes. If the U.S. cuts off funding to the PA, Palestinian Authority, because it incentivizes terrorism, then the PA will refuse to cooperate with Israel in fighting the terrorism it incentivizes. If you fail to follow the logic at all, well, you're in good company. I have no idea why anybody would say that, what sense it makes. Moreover, if you fail to follow this logic, then you defy the position of some of Israel's retired generals, and then you might well endanger Israel. After all, they know what's best, even better than the Israeli government, because they're retired Israeli generals. As we've discussed on this show before, Israeli officers are not promoted the way U.S. officers are, nor do they have the authority of U.S. officers, and their loyalty is often politically directed, not government or nation directed. This does not take away from the fact that they're very good at fighting on the battlefield. And just as the CIS members use the ranks they received in the past to undermine the powers of the government today, so the current crop of serving generals occasionally use their positions to advance policies that are contrary to the expressed position of the government. Many of these people have gotten jobs governing in the PLO areas in Israel, and they promote their political goals, not their nations. To put it mildly, things are confusing. Returning to Abbas, the PLO chief may have overplayed his hand, insulting Trump and his senior envoys. All of the politicized retired and currently serving Israeli generals together cannot convince Trump to send U.S. tax dollars to a terrorism-supporting leader who trashes him and his senior officials. Consequently, there is every reason to believe that the Taylor Force Act will soon be signed into law and the U.S. will end its financing of Palestinian terrorism. But even if Washington cuts off funding to the PA, Israel is still left to dealing with its radicalized generals who exploit their rank to undermine the government. That's their problem. The best way they can end this situation is for the government to get the Israeli Defense Force out of the governing business in Judea and Samaria. So long as the government continues to empower unaccountable generals to administer civilian areas instead of using their own accountable civilian bureaucracy, we're all going to continue to be confronted with the surreal spectacle of Israeli generals lobbying for Palestinian terrorists. If the government applies Israeli law to the West Bank areas, it can still negotiate with the PLO, just as it's negotiated about the Golan Heights and Jerusalem. But in the meantime, it will remove one of the most corrupting and corrosive forces preying on our generals and our democracy, and it will benefit all of Israel and the Palestinian residents, all of Israel. And did I mention that the U.S. provides about 22% of the U.N. funding and that the U.N. funds many terrorist activities in the area? It gets more and more confusing. Bottom line, we need to tell our government to stop funding all terrorists everywhere, directly or through the U.N. And those are my comments. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom, and now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have this week, Roland?
Colonel, back in 2008, the Air Force had attempted to buy a new light attack aircraft. However, with two wars going on in Iraq and Afghanistan, the political landscape just didn't allow that to happen. Further, there are those within the Air Force who have vigorously fought the purchase of any new tactical aircraft, which isn't specifically the Lockheed Martin F-35 Joint Strike Fighter. Nonetheless, the Air Force has decided to again hold demonstrations this summer to show off the capabilities of a new light attack aircraft. The hope is that a new light attack aircraft would eventually free up the more expensive fighter aircraft, such as the Boeing F-15E Strike Eagle or the F-35 Lightning II, which could then be used for missions against more challenging foes. Acting Air Force Secretary Lisa Disbrow said during a speech recently that this concept could free up higher-cost, high-performance platforms from doing low-threat missions. This would allow us time to prepare for the more complex threats with those more expensive assets. It could also help us absorb new pilots and be useful as we work with allies and partners. You know, it's that last point that highlights the Air Force has a pilot shortfall that is projected to grow to over 700 pilots in the next couple of years. The Air Force is going to have to produce more pilots, but they're going to need more cockpits for them. And a light attack aircraft with a two-pilot cockpit and a cost per flying hour of $4,000 to $5,000 could be a very cost-effective alternative. Add to that the availability of several off-the-shelf aircraft. This becomes an option that Congress could fund that would have a near-immediate impact on the Air Force's readiness. However, it's going to take an Air Force champion to push it through, especially since some think this is just a ploy to finally ditch the A-10 Warthog for good. I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll talk aircraft carriers with Barrett Tillman. Then Ambassador John Bolton will discuss the situation in Syria. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You are standing tall with the Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Get a pair of 50-pound weights and do arm curls, two dozen of them, then stand at ease. Spartan Nash is committed to supporting our veterans as they transition out of the service back into the workforce. In fact, we were recently named as a certified veteran-friendly employer, emphasizing our commitment to hire, train, and retain those who served our country.
Learn how your skills and experience can be put to use at Spartan Nash and begin your civilian career with us.
Learn more at spartannash.com/careers.
If you served honorably in our nation's armed forces and you're looking for a way to continue serving your fellow veterans in your community, then join AMVETS. Each year, AMVETS members volunteer millions of hours at VA healthcare facilities from coast to coast. AMVETS posts and departments also participate in a wide variety of community service projects, ranging from Americanism in our schools to supporting the Special Olympics and Boy Scouts of America. If you no longer wear the uniform today, you can still serve through the AMVETS by joining today at AMVETS.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
The victory in Mosul, a city where ISIS once proclaimed its so-called caliphate, signals that its days in Iraq and Syria are numbered. We will continue to seek the total destruction of ISIS.
White House spokeswoman Sarah Huckabee Sanders saying that the White House is celebrating the victory over ISIS in the Iraqi city of Mosul. She said the president's overjoyed by the victory of the Iraqi army and that it shows ISIS days are numbered. The death of ISIS leader Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi is being reported by a London-based monitoring group. The Syrian Observatory for Human Rights made the claim to several news outlets. Russian officials first reported al-Baghdadi's likely death in June, saying he was hit by a Russian airstrike in Syria. U.S. intelligence officials wouldn't confirm. And an explosion at an Air Force recruiting center in Oklahoma being treated as a possible act of domestic terrorism by the FBI. The explosion happened around 10:30 Monday night. USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. Every day people ask me, Jay, did I miss out? Have the rates gone up? The answer is no. Rates are still low, and it's a perfect time to refinance your home, especially if your mortgage rate is higher than 4.25%. If you'd like to lower your interest rate and save thousands of dollars in interest without starting over on a new 30-year loan, a Quicken Loans Yorgage is what you're looking for. With our exclusive Yorgage, you can choose a term that works best for you, anywhere from 8 to 30 years. The rate today on an 8-year Yorgage is 3.125%. APR 3.82%. For 7 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation for customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. And for the third year in a row, they've also ranked us highest in the nation for mortgage servicing. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org number 3030.
Troops, welcome back to the nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, do please send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. The team of the Eisenhower Center and After the Impact really helps our troops who suffer from traumatic brain injury. These are great people. Learn more at eisenhowercenter.com. Now it's time to meet Barrett Tillman. He's a military historian and has written an amazing book on Wave and Wing, the 100-year quest to perfect the aircraft carrier. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom, Barrett.
Thank you, Denny. Glad to be aboard, if I may put it in a nautical sense.
Barrett, you never served in the military, but you sort of grew up around flying and naval stuff, didn't you?
Yeah, I was blessed, and I use that word advisedly, to be born where and when I was. Northeastern Oregon, my family owned the local duster strip, and my dad had been a Navy-trained pilot during World War II. So in high school, I began experimenting with my nascent aviation abilities, flying restored World War II biplane trainers. And from there, I gained more experience, and ultimately, Dad and I helped restore, and he and I flew what was then, in the 1970s, the world's only Douglas Dauntless dive bomber. So even though I was medically ineligible for military service, I was extremely fortunate to get to fly the World War II generation of aircraft.
So you're sort of stuck. You didn't have any choice, because with that kind of interest as a young man, you couldn't not be interested the rest of your life. And that's what led you into military history?
That's correct.
What attracted you specifically to naval aviation? The fact that your dad was in the Navy?
Yeah, primarily my dad's background. But when I was growing up, and by that I mean when I was in high school age, I just became fascinated with World War II naval aviation. And, of course, I was aware of contemporary naval aviation. From the late 1950s, I was enamored with the Vought F-8 Crusader, which was our first supersonic carrier aircraft. So things pretty much just fell together. And although I was interested in all aspects of military aviation, I just naturally gravitated more towards the Navy.
You've written a lot about it too, haven't you? You've got a number of books out.
Well, now that I'm sitting here thinking about it, I'm not sure offhand how many of my 40 individual books had to do with naval aviation, but certainly a majority of them. And then I've also contributed to about a dozen others, which are either anthologies or I wrote individual chapters in other books. So certainly more than half of my total production of books has been oriented towards naval aviation, and maybe about a third or so of the 700-some magazine articles.
And you've received awards from both the Air Force and the Navy for your writing, haven't you?
Yeah, I've been fortunate in that regard. One of the awards of which I am proudest is from the Tailhook Association, which, of course, produces the world's leading journal of carrier aviation. And I'm still the youngest recipient of the Lifetime Contributors Award.
So to say that you have got some creds in military history, particularly as far as aviation and naval aviation, is an understatement. Your book is incredible, On Wave and Wing, The 100-Year Quest to Perfect the Aircraft Carrier. Now, World War I was about 100 years ago. Did we have something like aircraft carriers? Did somebody have something like that back then?
Yes, the British, and only the British at that time. In 1917, the Royal Navy converted a battle cruiser, which is a cruiser-sized ship with battleship guns on it, into the world's first true aircraft carrier, HMS Furious. And through 1917 and 1918, that ship was modified considerably, and at the end of the war, it emerged as what today we would recognize as an aircraft carrier. And the situation is somewhat complicated because in 1910 and 11, the U.S. Navy conducted two widely separated experiments with taking off a primitive contraption, a Curtiss pusher, from the improvised deck of one ship on the East Coast, and then a couple months later, they successfully landed aboard another hastily modified ship on the West Coast. But those experiments were never repeated. So that's the reason that I decided that 2017 is the centennial of the true aircraft carrier dating from HMS Furious.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're discussing American aircraft carriers with Barrett Tillman. For America, when did we start actually having aircraft carriers? Because the first time most Americans ever even heard of aircraft carriers was December 7th, 1941, when the Japs bombed Pearl Harbor. Am I right there?
Well, by 1941, both the American and the Japanese navies had been experimenting with real, no-kidding aircraft carriers, flat tops is the descriptive term, since 1922. So they had almost 20 years of institutional experience, but only the Japanese had broken the code, so to speak, and determined that the best way to operate aircraft carriers was in unified groups, what we call task forces. The Japanese grouped six carriers together in what they called the Mobile Striking Force, and one of my naval history colleagues, John Lundstrom, aptly described Kido Butai, is the Japanese phrase, as a kind of 1941 atomic bomb because nobody else on the planet had even considered doing that.
But the Japanese certainly did do what you said. They grouped them together for the attack on Pearl Harbor, and it was quite an effective operation, though they could have done more. Is that a fair summary?
Well, yes. It was extremely successful as far as it went. The six carriers had steamed secretly across the North Pacific after leaving northern Japan in late November, and they avoided the shipping lanes, they avoided patrolling ships and aircraft, and they arrived undetected north about 200 miles north of Honolulu on the morning of December 7th, 41. And they launched two airstrikes, totaling about 350 planes. And as is well known today, they succeeded either in destroying or temporarily sidelining all of our Pacific Fleet battleships. But as you noted, Denny, the three American carriers were absent. And that was providential because had even one or two of those been caught in port, they would have been destroyed, and that would have adversely affected our ability to conduct offensive operations in the Pacific for the rest of the year.
It certainly would. And from the point of World War II on, we certainly have taken aircraft carriers seriously. I would say today the primary way the United States projects power overseas is through aircraft carrier task groups. Is that a good summary?
Well, that's a fair statement. Aircraft carriers historically have two or three unique advantages. Number one is what we call territorial independence. And the saying is that all of our 10 current aircraft carriers each represent 4.5 acres of sovereign American territory that are immune to wavering vagaries of so-called allies who may deny us basing rights ashore. And, of course, the second big advantage is mobility, because a nuclear-powered aircraft carrier can steam at more than 30 knots, that's roughly 35 miles per hour, all day long and all night indefinitely. So when you consider your grade school geography lessons, the planet Earth is covered 70% by water, well, that opens up just a huge portion of the Earth's surface to aircraft carrier operations.
It certainly does. And there's a lot more to talk about aircraft carriers, and Barrett's going to stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. It's summer, troops. Go out on your lawn and do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do every day, so you can do it. Then take a break, but stay in the area. We'll be right back.
If you're a veteran looking to file for your service-connected benefits through the Department of Veterans Affairs, don't go it alone. AmVet's highly trained service officers stand ready to walk you through the process at VA regional offices around the country. AmVet's can offer you the advice you need to finally receive all your earned benefits. In 2009 alone, AmVet's helped process more